Just started watching my new favorite show, hashtag Black AF, aka Black as Fuck. Yeah, like I had to throw in the extra for the fuck. But not sure how I feel about it, even though I said it's my new favorite show. It's not what I thought it was going to be. No, not at all. I'd seen the comparison. Apparently, it's the dude that created Blackish, Grownish, Matureish, all the issues. What I really want to know is it improv? Are they just like going in with a sketch? Because so far, it kind of looks like it's got like a Curb Your Enthusiasm type of feel. All right, I'm halfway through the first episode of season one, episode one of Black as Fuck is called Because of Slavery. I know this, even though I said it's my favorite show, I'm not sure it is, but I know I'm gonna keep watching it. Part one.
You're not about that life, champ. I can see it.
Game over, man. Game over.
He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk.
Come on. Playoffs? You kidding me?
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it. I want winners.
Here we go.
Playing to win the game.
That was one heck of a timeout.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Ron is in trouble.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Decided to open the show with that bullshit. I don't know if the bullshit review, but I was excited about it at the time. I think that enough beer, a computer, and quarantine can elicit some strange fucking behaviors. I don't know how it's strange, but it is what it is. Yes, my new favorite Netflix show, hashtag Black AF. The AF is black as fuck. Very good show. And just like anything else, I found out about it by scrolling through my timeline on Facebook and keep seeing this pop up. People talking about this new show. Hashtag Black AF. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Because sometimes, like, listen, I'm gonna keep it real here. As real as I can. Like, a lot of times, hey man, you get black folks that are, they always, and you know what, you should be proud of your race or ethnicity, but sometimes I think there's some bias there to where if it's made by black folks have to like it and get behind it. You know, kind of like Black Panther. People are like, Black Panther is the greatest movie ever. Before the Black Panther, there was never anybody representing Black Hollywood. I don't know. And I know me, by me saying that out loud, if anybody listening, any of the black listenership is probably like, you fucking coon, fucking sellout, you know what I'm saying? You're living in a white world, fucking white women, having a half white babies, you a sellout nigga, Uncle Tom. Nah, man, when it comes to like creativity in regards to like TV and movie, I'm not saying I don't care about the ethnicities of the actor, but I care more about the content. I think Martin Luther King had a saying, the content of a man's character. I'm about to look that up when I get a chance. But basically, it's one of these things where just because it's made by black people doesn't mean I have to like it. Because everybody rushed to cheer for Black Panther, which, when it's all said and done, good movie. Good movie. But best movie ever? No. Top 10 movie. I don't know if I put it in my top 10. But it's definitely a go-to movie. You know what? Maybe I should come up with a different list. How about this? An ode to one of my favorite podcasts, The Rewatchables, where they watch movies and talk about them. And talk about what makes them rewatchable. So I'm going to have to say that maybe that's what I should do. I should adjust the name of my list to top 10 rewatchable movies. Seriously. And if it's a top 10, definitely rewatchable. You know, there's certain movies. A lot of the Marvel movies I can rewatch because there's certain scenes. The Infinity War, Endgame, definitely rewatchable. Iron Man, definitely rewatchable. You know what wasn't rewatchable in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Ant-Man 2. Yeah, it was just kind of meh. Captain Marvel wasn't that impressive, but for whatever reason, I can watch that one again and again. But I think it's because it's the special effects, and I just like the way it looks on my TV and with the surround sound. You know? Thor movies, not that rewatchable to me for some reason. So Avengers, definitely. I think all the Avengers are basically rewatchables. Not really sure about Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know. I think that's more of a, if it's on TNT and I'm quarantined and I got nothing else to do, I'll watch it. I'm definitely going to watch The Martian. Side note, I'm sliding off topic, but hey, I can do that. One of the joys of fucking having your own podcast that people may or may not listen to. But I spiraled off topic. Black Panther. Yeah, it's definitely rewatchable. Like, some of my favorite movies, like Pulp Fiction, that's not that much of a rewatchable. Some movies, some time has to have passed, and then I can go back and rewatch it. I had to do that with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which now, upon my second viewing of the movie, I still was kind of, the ending brought it home for me, so I gave it a pass. But now, after doing a little bit of fucking research, it's based on, all these personalities and individuals and celebrities, the Manson family, Tex, Winter, Bruce Lee, God damn it, Flynn. Yeah, it was intertwined with real life shit, but they twisted it. And I didn't realize that. Didn't realize a lot about Charlie Manson. One thing I did know, find out about him from watching Mindhunter, which I'll be glad when that comes back, because that's another good show, that Charles Manson's like a Mitch. He's like 5'2". But apparently, like, there's this book out there talking about how he was mixed up with the CIA. They were using him to test out mind control LSD drugs and whatnot. Yeah. So, coming upon that type of information in regards to the movie, it's made it a little bit more interesting. I still don't think Brad Pitt deserved an Oscar more than Leo. Leo, I felt like, man, you know what? Are you going to stop at every fucking bush? Shit. Yeah, I think he is. Can you hurry? Man, come the fuck on. The fuck was in that bush? Anyway. Here, let's get on the grass. We know you don't know how to act. But anyway. Where was my thought? Where was I at? I'm losing myself in this. Okay. Got to do a quick interlude there. My fucking dog. Now he wants to drag me. He always has to shit and piss in the worst possible places. But I'm not going to keep talking about that shit. Train of thought. Movies. Exactly. No, it started out with Netflix. Black as fuck. So I had, again, heard about the show. And since we have nothing but time, I thought, all right, let me just flip on an episode immediately. I'm interested, transfixed, immediately. So much so that I pause it and then put up my half-ass review that you heard at the beginning of this episode. So, creator, what's the creator's name? I'm hearing about the show through my Facebook timeline. Decided to check it out. Again, like I said, transfixed. So it's made by creator Kenya Barris. Yeah. An individual that was responsible for Black-ish. Like I said, I'm getting grown-ish, amateurish, all the issues, okay? Every one of them. But apparently, much to my I didn't know this, that he apparently was growing tired with some of the creative constraints he was experiencing while making the show for ABC. And it's like, all right, you know what? Get the fuck out of the bushes, man. I'm like, this dude, today he's supposed to just crawl everywhere that I don't want to fucking go. But apparently, yeah, he got pissed off and was like, you know what, fuck these people. But it doesn't matter. His name's on everything, so he's still going to be getting the checks. Decided to make something on Netflix, which I think that, like, any TV or content creator at this point, like, if you want critical acclaim or Emmys or anything, you can get that shit on network TV. You know, this is free. Pay TV is where you're going to get the acclaim and the freedom to do whatever you want. That's why. I mean, everything's going that way anyway. But yeah, decides to create his own show. And so, voila, Black as fuck. But here's the genius of it. He decides to take the lead role. And it's kind of loosely based on him. Well, it's him, but it's like a fictionalized cartoon version of himself. And I could tell from minute one that a lot of it, there's a whole lot of improv going on, a la Curb Your Enthusiasm, to where they, you know, they have a outline or a scene to where they know where they're going to start and where they're going to end, and however they get to the end is up to the participants. And this show definitely had that feel, looked it up, and that's exactly what they're doing. And obviously it's cursing, more adult theme. The show's fucking hilarious. And you could tell, like, that when he wrote Black-ish, it was definitely, he definitely patterned, was it Anthony Edward Anderson who plays, apparently him, because that's what it looks like to me. He plays him. He drafts another half-breed, Rashida Jones, daughter of Quincy Jones, who, I mean, as we know, if you didn't know, has tons of acting and improv chops. You know, been on movies. What was it, Brooklyn? Is she on that one? There was one on one of these other fledgling channels. Definitely Parks and Rec. I mean, she's talented and she's funny. Apparently, she's an executive producer of the show. All I can really say is the show's fucking great. And I mean, just him and that gold chain. If you've seen it, if you haven't, or I ask yourself this, if you're friends of mine and you're on my Facebook feed, one of my friends, and you saw the picture that I put up in honor, I busted out my chain and put it back on because a la to my man in Black. A.K.A. No, it's not A.K.A. It's hashtag Black as fuck. So, in closing, you want a good Netflix show to put on your list for this new binging season? Hashtag Black as fuck. I give the show, so far, I'm giving it 5 out of 5 headhunters. Hell yeah, I am. Go check it out. Black as fuck. So the NBA draft is come and gone. Yes, it has. And, again, I think I probably mentioned this. I don't know, I don't think I laid a podcast down since I watched the NFL draft. My whole thinking on the NFL draft was that I'm like, dude, why should I even get worked up? I don't even know if we're going to have a fucking football season. We've been stuck in our houses for a month. And now they've extended this shit till May 17th. I mean, the longer they do this, the longer the COVID's keeping everything in doubt. Oh, this is a trip. I think this is the first podcast I have laid down in a while to where I haven't talked about COVID-19 or Corona or any, whatever all your aliases. First time in a while I haven't done this. Kind of proud of it. But see, I just did it by doing it. Oops, I did it again. Well, the like I said, I wasn't that excited about it. Well, I get home, click on the TV, and I'm like, well, fuck it. Might as well check it out. And then you think to yourself, you're like, well, how the fuck are they even going to do it? No one. So you see, they're doing it via Zoom. With a, you got your boy Goodell at his house with his with a monitor with, you know, fans of whatever team is drafting. And he's doing that fake back and forth with them. And I mean, God, he is the most wooden motherfucker ever. They should have got somebody else to do that. But then he always reads the envelopes. And you don't realize, like, how little he means to the equation when you have everything else involved. Because you think about it, like, this was the year they were going to do it in Vegas because of the in honor of the Raiders and their new stadium in Las Vegas. Yeah, apparently they're going to have them over there, the casino, coming by the Bellagio and stop thing. But, hey, Vegas is closed, motherfuckers, which is crazy in itself. What's crazier is fucking Disney World's closed. Disneyland is closed. Like I said later, you a bad motherfucker, COVID. You a bad motherfucker. You shut the mouth down. Read somewhere that I think after this week, the mouth ain't going to be paying a lot of motherfuckers. Like, look, we're losing too much damn money to keep this shit going on. You know, that's going to dump like another, 100,000 more heads into the fucking unemployment barrel. More people need money. Not that our country isn't just scratching checks. You wait for your for your COVID check to hit, as Clinton would say. Well, mine hit. Now they're drafting up more money. I'm like, where the fuck is this money coming from? Nah, you're not shitting right there. Sorry. It's like you want the biggest audience you can to take a shit. I wish I could count how many times I mention him and him taking a shit when I'm trying to lay this shit down. More than I do it at least once an episode. But back to the draft. So everyone's at home. So they disperse camera crews to, I'm assuming, what is it, the projected, what, top 20, top 50? I don't know. And so you're saying to yourself, but we're supposed to be quarantining, aren't we? Dude, nah, man, you ain't shitting there either. Sorry. Number one pick was, yeah, I had to start this shit over again. I had to come home, get back to my roots. Back to where I do this recording the best. Think I might need a pop filter. Bengals. First overall pick, Joe Burrow. I had never even heard of this motherfucker until what was it? Whatever, they were in one of the bowls. I should probably have all this information before I crack the mic and start talking, but nope. Sugar Bowl, Cotton Bowl, whatever. Whatever bowl he was in, the motherfucker threw for 10,000 yards. Apparently he played at Ohio State, left because he wasn't getting the playing time he needed. Ends up in LSU, bam, now Heisman Trophy winner, first overall pick of the Bengals, to which he knew, I mean, the minute he won the Heisman, the minute he was in the game, everyone was like, yeah, the Bengals are going to get the number one pick, and that's definitely who they're going. But what I got to wonder now, though, is what happened to the Red Rocket? Was it Dalton? Yeah, Andy Dalton. What happened to him? Is he still, I think he's still on the roster. They'll deal him. Who knows? The number two pick was Chase Young. Everybody knew the defensive end that comparing to Clowney. Going to the Redskins, they're going to fuck up his career. Three, Jeff Okuda, another Ohio State individual, cornerback to the Lions. Apparently, Tua was scared, or his camp was scared that the Lions were going to pick him, and he did not want to go to the Lions. There was some thought that maybe the Lions would pick Tua, because I think they're pretty much done with well-paid Matt Stafford. A lot of these other picks I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to. Andrew Thomas, was he a tackle from the Giants? And obviously, Tua, number five, QB. Again, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Too many fucking injuries. And then you go six, Justin Herbert, quarterback. Never heard of him. I didn't watch that much college football this year. No, I didn't. I mean, if I just scan through this list, the picks that actually meant anything, really, that was kind of a trip. We go here, keep scrolling. Oh, Henry Ruggs, Alabama wide receiver to the Raiders. Niners got some defensive tackle. And then you have the Broncos. My Broncos, they took Jerry Jeudy, another wide receiver from Alabama, which kind of trips me out that they're churning out wide receivers there because they seem like more of a run-dominated defensive team. DeeDee Lamb, another wide receiver out of Oklahoma, and apparently there was some, controversy, I guess, when the camera shifted to when he, to, you know, the point where they've decided he's on the phone, and apparently his girlfriend grabbed one of his phones and he snatched it back from her because apparently that was the backup phone. That was his burner, probably. Whatever. Didn't the motherfucker show up with that? Didn't he have like a robe on too? No, that was the Raiders wide receiver. He had a robe on. It's like, whoa. He was ready for the whole the Vegas thing. He's ready for Vegas. Ready for Vegas big time. Raiders picked at 19 and got a cornerback, Damon Arnett. This is another receiver for the, was it the Eagles? Jalen Reagor, never heard of him. Wow, there were a lot of wide receivers taken. Justin Jefferson, wide receiver, LSU goes to the Vikings. Look at this, Brandon Ayuki, Arizona State, wide receiver to the Niners. And here was the pick, number 26. This was the pick of this was the pick that everyone was like, oh, who is it? The Green Bay Packers pick, Jordan Love, quarterback out of Utah State. Whoa. Yeah, word has it that the pick wasn't run by Aaron Rodgers. He's sitting at home, sheltering in place, probably drinking some Chardonnay and shit, and here comes baby, here comes big, here, Danica. He's sitting there with Danica Patrick, Green Bay Packers select Jordan Love, quarterback out of Utah. What the fuck? You know he's pissed. It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny how everything comes full circle. This is a guy that's been the quarterback of the Packers for a long time now. Was he 36, 37 years old? He's coming to the end of his career. Started his career in Green Bay. Probably will end his career in Green Bay unless he asks for a trade. But on draft day, his draft stock tumbles, ends up falling to the Packers, and he sits behind Brett Favre for a number of years, to which Brett Favre, not really trying to help the guy out, help the young rookie out, he's just like, hey, look, it's not my problem. You figure that shit out, okay? You figure that shit out. Eventually, Brett Favre is forced out, and goes, where do you go to, like the Vikings and then the Jets, a bunch of bullshit. And then Aaron Rodgers is his team. And Aaron Rodgers, to me, when you look at him, he looks like he just play like he just has this, I'm better than you. You think you're better than me? If I was like one of those street toughs from Boston, you think you're better than me? And if you look at him, he's not the focal point of that team anymore. He's aging. I mean, he had a couple years ago, the relax, don't worry, we'll make it. But he's got one Super Bowl ring and a number of playoff appearances, a.k.a. exits. So, we'll see. But really, you scroll through, and who's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back out of LSU? Apparently, he's a dynamic guy that'll go good there with the Chiefs and their dynamic offense, the offense that us fellow AFC-dwelling teams, a.k.a. my Denver Broncos, are going to have to see for at least 10 years. This fucker's that good. Apparently the new Madden cover is going to be Lamar Jackson. Imagine that. Here's the thing about that I don't get. What if there's no season?
What if there's no season? I mean, how can you put out another Madden if there's no season? But I guess they can do whatever they want. I would think that you'd wait. Wait and see. Or just fucking do an update with the game we already have. But you know what, though? That's not why it's a $4 billion business. $4 billion what they've made. And apparently, John Madden, who has nothing to do with the game at this point now, he's $2 million a year just to put his name on it. That's fucking some good money right there. That's top shelf dollars right there. So, yeah. I mean, you scroll. The only other major pickup that I saw, because after the first round, I mean, I would see things pop up on the ticker, and, you know, I think Denver ended up getting another wide receiver and some defensive backs, and, you know, some more bullshit that I don't really care about. The last pick that really actually piqued my interest would have to be Jalen Hurts of Oklahoma going to the fucking Eagles. And you say to yourself, wait a second, they have a starting quarterback. Yeah. Wentz? Carson Wentz? I just signed that dude to like a 4-year, 100-something dollar extension. But here's the thing with him. His ass can't stay healthy. When has he been played a whole season? Shit. When they went to the Super Bowl, he didn't play. He let Coles. Is it Kolb? Coles? Yeah, whatever. Yeah, they let that guy go to the Super Bowl and win, then subsequently leave, go to the Jacksonville Jaguars, get a big fat fucking contract, get hurt, and then the birth of Minshew Mania starts. Gardner Minshew the second. There is no first. You gotta love that shit. The Mississippi Mustache, as they call him. So, I guess you gotta say to yourself, that's the Eagles saying, look, man, if you don't got what it takes, hey, we got this dude waiting in the wings. To which, and I love how every, like, mobile quarterback with a decent arm now is, he could possibly be the next Mahomes. It's like, you know, no. That's what they're saying about this Jordan Love kid. Apparently, you look at this Jordan Love kid's stats. He threw, like, 17,000 interceptions last year. Forget being the next. Just be the first. Just be you. Be the best you can be. Don't try to be what the next guy was or still is. Just do you. That comparison shit, you can't live up to that shit, okay? But the people, that's what they're going to do. It's human nature. You want to look for the next thing. I watched the Vic 30 for 30. Really good. I think I talked about it the last. Yeah, I did, but I'm not going to bring it up again. Tonight, probably going to check out the 3 and 4 of the Jordan doc, which, like, so far, the one thing that I can definitely say is Michael Jordan looks like a bit of a demon with his yellow jaundicey eyeballs. They're either yellow or red bloodshot. Maybe you just need some fucking Visine. But just looking from the still shots of this upcoming The Last Dance episode, it's going to be centered around Dennis Rodman, to which I got to say, I watched a 30 for 30 on that guy about a year ago. And of course, what are they not going to highlight that we haven't already heard or seen? How about the fact that he had a bunch of tattoos, put on a dress, drunk all the time, you know, ended up, you know, was part of that last three-peat with the Bulls. They kept them together just long enough so they could do that. I don't think I'm going to see anything. And they're not going to tell me anything I don't already know, but I'm still going to watch it. How could you not? We're under fucking quarantine. And last thing. You almost wonder, because there's this speculation that, what's this, Kim Jong-un, the North Korean dictator, underwent a heart surgery and now is in a vegetative state, and hey, people can't really confirm or deny. Why don't you just ask Dennis to give him a call? See if he, you know, apparently they're good buddies, which is the craziest shit in the world. Why would a world leader make friends with Dennis Rodman, a guy who's probably perpetually drunk and never really that coherent? But then again, that apparently this dude lived in his own fantasy land too. Go figure. Well, I think that's about it for today. Thank you very much. Sarcastic speaking about stuff, sports, whatever the fuck I want. Have a good day, y'all. Bye.
Oh, yeah, man. That's at Headhunter Productions. You don't know nothing about that, Headhunter.
Headhunter, son?